I love you so much, and I'm so excited to do this with you.
Gosh. Okay. Me too. Thank you, Emily, for holding this space with me. And something that I thought of this morning as I was like prepping for this, this is such an example of big friendship, which is a book that I read a few years back. I'm blanking on the two women who wrote the book. They used to have a podcast, but the book just talks about their big friendship, and it talks about how we don't think of friendships in the same light as we do relationships sometimes, and they are so important. And I think what stood out for me is just how much you hype me up. We don't talk every day. We don't see each other yet, maybe once a year, if that. And we just have this symbiotic relationship from so far away that, but it works so beautifully. And so super stoked to be here, to be hyped by you, to hype you. I'm rambling already, and we're just getting started.
We are just getting started. I know. I'm so, yeah, no, I feel that way. I love having friends like you who I just feel like, I mean, when we met virtually during the pandemic over like a, was it was like one of those Sacred Shift series that I was doing in the virtual programs, and
Yep.
you took part in it and you sent me a reply in the email, and you were just like super vulnerable about your experience and how much meaningful it was to you. And like that for me is just the foundation of an incredible relationship. And yeah, I love it. I know like you're super far away geographically, but like forever feeling super supported by you and inspired by you. And yeah, I always feel like I can be myself, and you are like my hype girl, and I'm your hype girl. And I'm so excited to have you on the podcast because what we're going to talk about is really, really exciting to me right now. And also, this is like your full bloom moment. I feel like you've been talking about doing what you're doing now for a while, or kind of like marinating in it, steeping in it, thinking about it, and now it's like being birthed out into the world. And so as your personal hype girl, I'm so excited to celebrate you and to bring you on the show to talk about this. So, hi everybody, it's Emily. Welcome back to the Embodied Potty. I'm here today with a special guest, Brittany Volkman. Brittany and I have been friends since, oh man, I guess 2021
Yeah,
originally.
give or take.
And
Yeah.
then things have just kind of evolved from there. I'm going to let Brittany introduce herself, and then I'm going to talk a little bit more about what we're going to explore today on the podcast. So thanks, Brittany.
Thanks, Emily. My hype woman, who is hyping me up already because this is something that Emily is one of few that has like heard about for so long, this planting and nourishing this little seed of mine. And most of you have only just seen that. So I'm Brittany Volkman. Pronouns are she, her, a former Chicagoan, which is partially how I know Emily, but I'm currently in my mountain girly era out here in Oregon. And for those of you astro nerds, I'm a Pisces sun, a Leo moon, and a Scorpio rising. And it's wild.
Oh, that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And when you look outward, it makes even more sense. So yeah, and that just truly, it does. It makes sense, and it explains the like deep passion I have for the work that I'm currently doing and currently transitioning my career towards. So, for those of you who have either never met me, most of you haven't, some of you have, I'm working on launching a new business, Pleasure Rebel, and that is a platform to share the sex ed that we truly never had. Simultaneously launching this little platform, I'm working towards becoming accredited sex educator and coach. And my purpose is really to help others embody their sexuality and find freedom in their own expression of pleasure. Aside from that, I am just super passionate about the somatics of kink and BDSM. I'm a nerd for learning and exploring, especially when it comes to non-conventional relationships like polyamory and relationship anarchy. So I'm really stoked to be here, just invited into your world, hyped by the one and only, and chatting about some of my favorite topics.
Yes. I know. Oh, okay. First, hats off to the name of the biz, Pleasure Rebel. I at first I saw it and I was like, Pleasure Rebel, that's so dope, rolls off the tongue. And then I was like, wait, Pleasurable, Pleasure Rebel. This is too good. Like, we're
A
gonna
few
need to make
things.
merchandise.
Oh yeah, merch, logos, and a website coming soon, as with the transition of my career. But this is just kind of my passion project that I know is impacting people because I've heard it already. So for those of you that have shared kind words with me and how something I posted impacted your day to day or something you thought about that you hadn't before, that's the shit that I'm here for. That's the purpose of all this. So
absolutely.
Keep posting or keep liking, keep commenting, keep sharing.
Support Brittany with an I. We'll tag her and share her links in the show notes and all that good stuff. But yeah, I'm so proud of you for going for it, and also so inspired. And it also feels so aligned too with like the purpose of everything that I do is to, like, whether that's, you know, through all the things that I do, teaching classes, holding retreats, holding space, medicine journeys, et cetera, one-on-one work with clients. It's everything that I write and put out into the world is made to inspire others to come into alignment with their authentic truth and practice radical authenticity, to always know that they are worthy of that at their truest self, like the truth of who we are at any given moment as a human being, whether that's pretty or messy or whatever that is worthy of being in alignment with that authentic truth, and then embodying the power in that and feeling the power of just, here I am. This is what I like. This is what is inspiring me. This is what brings me pleasure. This is what brings me pain. And these are the ways I've grown, and this is what I'm still working on. And, you know, so much just like being able to be a human being and practice humility and have courage to just be ourselves and to talk about the things that light us up. Like, that is the mission, the purpose behind everything that I do. And so I went through a big split, very important relationship in my life about 7 months ago. So we're recording this in May, so just a little over 7 months ago. And since then, I've been really called, you know, like as naturally will happen, to find myself again. You know, I thought I knew who I was before, and then lo and behold, there's so much of me that I have yet to explore or allow myself to explore. And my sensuality and sexuality is something that's like really, really intriguing and exciting for me right now. And I feel like this, just the timing of this episode is so perfect, because I'm really trying to lean into, like I said, like my sensuality and not feeling fear around expressing myself that way, and what people are going to think about me or whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. I just want to do what feels good for me. And like you, like the feedback that I've gotten so far from this, like, new, we'll call it naughty girl energy, if you don't know my alias. This naughty girl energy has been really, really positive. And so with all of like the like feedback that I've been getting from people as I'm showing up as my authentic self in this space, I was like, oh, this is like the perfect, like, let's do this. Like, let's do this and let's talk about this, because sex is essential for a healthy human experience. Like, it can be one of the most powerful things that we experience in so many forms, and all of the forms that sex comes, right? Can also be so terrifying and so
terrifying and terrible.
And terrible.
Oh my gosh.
More. Okay.
Yo. Yeah. Okay. First of all, I just have to say, as you were speaking, I'm like, Emily, you are a part of this journey. You are a part of my journey. You have been inspiring me. You've been a tool in my toolbox for tapping into myself to be able to make some of this work that I'm doing possible, and to be able to have the relationship with my authentic self and my expression of pleasure and sexuality, partially because of you and the work that you do. So, wow, super grateful for that. And also, like, you brought up change. It doesn't matter if that change is a breakup, a move, a divorce, a new job. So many things can shatter us and rattle us. And I think that's the time when we really can dig deep and learn a lot about ourselves and revisit certain things. And yeah.
Well, you know, so with like my mission in mind and like helping people step into alignment with their authentic truth, can you tell us more about like your story of coming into alignment with your personal truth, and why and how sharing sex ed has become so important to you, and also why it's important for all of us?
Yeah. Yeah, good question. I would say, like, more or less, the discovery of myself has been an ongoing journey. And if I think back, well, I'll say it really did start with change. I think that's what really ignited the flame to kick on for me, of just like realization of self and who my authentic self was. Because for so long I was trying to be anybody but me. It was when I moved to Philly. I literally didn't know a single soul. I had never stepped foot in Pennsylvania, let alone Philadelphia. And then I moved there. And I eventually started therapy and had consistent therapy practice every week. I started yoga. I started breath work. I learned the power of breath work and meditation. And truthfully, I met an incredible community of friends. And also the pandemic helped influence those relationships with those friends. Our lives slowed down and allowed us to connect deeper. And that I'm so, so grateful for. But those friends introduced me to their openness with unconventional relationships. It was the first time in my life I had heard of non-monogamy and open marriages and with kids. And it was mind-blowing as someone who grew up literally only knowing monogamy or swingers. It was like mind-blowing. And from there, those same friends empowered me to tap into my bisexuality and eventually own my bisexuality. This past year is the first year I've been able to say, hi, I'm Brittany and I'm bisexual. I enjoy women and men. I find both attractive. I find both alluring and interesting. And those same friends introduced me to kink from a positive light, like as someone who's always been freaky, always been kinky. This really changed my life, this openness. So in those conversations, found myself more empowered to lean into my expression of self through sex. And with that, like also opened the doors to just digging deeper into my childhood and, you know, the inner work stuff. That's fun. Your inner child stuff. And so doing that, I've really realized in having, you know, deep conversations with who I am authentically. What does that mean to me? What does it mean to feel good in my own body? I realized that that little girl was always pushing boundaries, and not like everyone's boundaries, their personal boundaries, but like the boundaries of society. I was always feeling like I was being put in this box, and whether it was an expression of my clothing or my hair or my makeup or the people that I wanted to hang out with, I was pushing boundaries. And oh my gosh, I just have so much to share. And that is like, that resulted in slut shaming, which we'll get to in a bit. But it would also like, you know, I think back and being able to now reflect on my things throughout my childhood and my adolescence that I don't want to say define who I am today, but we're always a part of my authentic self that I spent so many years feeling ashamed of or hiding. Like as I was thinking about this podcast and things that I've just wanted to share in general, it's May, it's masturbation month, masturbation May.
Yeah.
So if you've been on Instagram, you've seen some of the posts I've been posting. If not, get over there. There's fun stuff throughout the rest of the month, but
ooh, yeah.
I've been thinking about masturbation and solo sex and self-pleasure. And I remember, and this is like a question that I pose to everybody else. Like, do you remember the first time you ever touched your genitals?
Yes,
I do. Maybe not the first time, but I remember being a little girl, like between kindergarten and first grade, and got diagnosed overactive bladder, have been a little girl that needed to pee her pants all the time since forever. And so obviously little Brittany is just like holding herself, trying not to pee herself, but also at the same time being like, huh, something feels interesting down there when I do that. And so at nap time, I'd find myself like quietly and very subtly rubbing my hands against my vulva, and it felt good, but also wrong. Like wrong because probably I grew up in a semi-strict, semi-religious household that like we didn't even call a vulva a vulva. My mom didn't even call it a vagina, let alone like
what was it?
Front butt.
No way.
Oh yeah.
Front butt. Wow. Well, yeah, there you go. I mean, we call it coochie.
Yeah. I mean, would have loved that. I think eventually like that was a word that was thrown around the house, which is kind of funny. And like, actually part of where I'm going with this is like, I grew up in a very confusing household where like, classic Catholics. Like, we live by the book, but we don't all in the same. And, you know, so sex before marriage is a no, and sex is bad and sex is wrong. But like, at the same time, like, I vividly remember hearing my mom and dad having sex. My mom sold sex toys. She was a pure romance consultant. And I knew about it. And I went on to actually do that in college too, which is hilarious to think. But like,
my God.
It's just so funny that my parents were very sexually explorative creatures, but like hid that from us. And in fact, when my mom found condoms in my purse, granted, I was incredibly young. I think I was 13. I was shamed. I got in trouble. I got grounded. And when I talk about like being put in a box, like that was an example of me being put in a box and saying, what you did was bad. When like in all reality, what I did was actually good. At least I was being safe.
Mm-hmm.
Was it bad that I was having sex at 13? Yeah, of course. But I was also a curious little fucker. And I wanted to understand what I was being told, no, I can't do, no, I shouldn't do. But yet I'm seeing it on TV and in movies and listening about it in songs. And so I had to find out on my own. And yeah, that is a longest story of my journey, but my journey then like shifts to slut shaming. And I think that's a great segue into, I know, another topic that we talked about, but like, yeah, I'll pause and keep, or I could keep rattling him. You tell me. This is,
you know, no, this is good. Yeah. This is good. I want to talk a little bit more about this. So like, I think it's so important to, when we're thinking, okay, firstly, and I didn't say this at the beginning, but there are many reasons why I wanted to do this today is because we need to normalize these conversations. Like, sex is a really important part of the human experience. And I would say the majority of people really like sex and are attracted to people and are curious and want to explore, but are so afraid that they're going to be shamed for their interest. Just because that's how it's been. Like, unless you grew up with parents that are like super open about sex, practicing ethical non-monogamy or swinging or like whatever it is that they're doing, right? Like that, like as you would say, unconventional relationships. Most of us, I don't think, grew up in homes like that, myself included. And no. I like never received the talk when I was a kid. Never. And I started having sex when I was 13 too. And that's super young. Like, I just got my period, like, you know, like a couple years before that. But like, yeah. And I don't know. I feel I was slut shamed my whole like adolescence. Like, I started early and I hooked up with my whole friend group, which were all guys at the time. I didn't really start exploring my bisexuality until I was about 18. Maybe 17. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I mean, there's so many things to be said, right? We could talk about this probably for years. There's so many books written about it. And but I think what I want to just really relay here is like, let's look at the shame around sex, because shame keeps us from being vulnerable and from having the courage to speak up about like, this is enticing to me, or I'm interested in this, I'm curious about this. And I just like sex, even if we're straight up having like, and there's nothing wrong with it, vanilla sex with one partner 3 times a week or however many times, you know, there's nothing wrong with talking about it and, you know, enjoying sex. So yeah, I was called, the people in my high school called me Emily Slutwell or Emily Blowswell. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I know. And I feel for that little baby girl too. Like, a lot of people also don't know. I ended up going on to be a sex worker. So I was a stripper and an escort for a while when I was young. It was not an empowering time in my life though. I was doing it more for like drug money. But now that I've full circle, like over a decade later, I've been doing so much like shadow work on like me and like where I feel shame and working through that. I'm so curious to like get back into like pole dancing and just, again, just being really open and like, like authentic in my sensuality and like not having the fear that if I put myself out there in that way that I'm going to be slut shamed. I mean, and if people are, so at this point in my life, if people are slut shaming me for being sensual, they can fuck right off. And I know that the right people are going to be my hype people like you.
That's right. I mean, I feel similarly, like just launching the content that I've launched already was so vulnerable for me as someone who I have been the butt of jokes. Like, oh, Brittany will do it. Brittany's a hoe. Brittany's a slut. Brittany will grab someone's cock if she needed to, and she'll take one for the team if we need to get in somewhere. Like, that was me. And for many years, like, that was a persona that I embodied. And that's not who I authentically am. Am I authentically someone who has a pretty healthy sex drive, enjoys sex, enjoys exploring not just my body, but other people's bodies? I enjoy the responses, the kinks, the weird things. I just like truly enjoy all things about sex, and whether that's actual penetrative sex or there's so many other things, just, mm-hmm. you know, tie me up and just touch me for 3 hours. Like,
oh yeah,
that's fun. That's pleasure. And so, yeah, I was letting slut shaming define a part of me in a different light than what it was. And I think too, it's like, it's important to back up a little bit too, and just kind of talk about what slut shaming is, because I think, you know, while the term can predominantly refer to female identifying bodies, girls or women, any gender of human experiences slut shaming. Others that are people that are making jokes or judgments or references, both online and in real life, like towards someone's sexuality, their sexual expression, their sensuality, that is all slut shaming. Call it what you want. And I humbly will admit too that I have slut shamed others.
Of course.
It's a learning curve of us just acknowledging like what that is. And I think too, you know, it stems from a bigger problem, which is what my platform is all about. And that's just our true lack of understanding and the education and information that we have around sex. Society views it as gross, shameful, morally wrong. And yet like, we're naturally wired to experience arousal and embody pleasure and express ourselves. We're told to, we have freedom of speech, freedom of expression ourselves. And so, yeah, it's like some of the inner work that I've learned about myself is how, when I don't know something very well, or someone else doesn't know something as good as me, then like, I'm so quick to assume or react. And I think that that reaction kind of haunts many of us, and that like, that's when we want to become judgmental or belittle somebody by saying something mean. And so, yeah, rather than just embracing curiosity and understanding more. And that's when I created that shift for myself, like that curiosity of understanding what I was doing that felt so good, but so wrong at the same time. Like, why did it feel wrong? That's when that shift happened for me.
Totally. Yeah. And I think like the shaming comes from, it's just a projection of everyone else's like fear, right? And like, it's just, we've been told and conditioned that this is how we're supposed to be. And this is how we're supposed to do things. And if it's any different, like we as human beings, we love control. And when it freaks people out when we are like, what's the word I want to use? When we're fully tapped into our personal power and feel like, here I am, this is what I like, this is me, this is my body. Like that triggers people in all of their own fears about being seen in their sexuality or in their power or however they want to express in their desires and what they like. Like that triggers people's, I don't know if I already said insecurities, but and so when that happens, that's when the judgment comes. And that's because it's just people are terrified. They are not in control of us. When we are in our power, nobody else can control us. When we're in alignment with our truth, nobody else can fucking determine how we show up. that's on us. And the
and
people
that
that
is the most empowered I've ever felt, is when I let
totally.
that person come out,
Yeah,
like
for
the
sure. And
authentic version.
of course, there's so much, like, I think, yeah, again, just like there's so much deep inner work that goes into even being able to like have this conversation around sex out in public. Like, whoa, what are people gonna think? Just kind of letting that fear dissolve and doing it anyway because it's inspiring. You know, so what I think is really, really cool about this is like when we come into relationship with conscious sex and partnerships, and like you were saying, like it sex can be anything. It can be penetrative, it can be just foreplay, it can be like body and body, or it can be like this energetic exchange that you're having with a person. You're like flirty and you're like, oh my God, like I feel
Dom sub
electric talking to
relationship.
you, and this feels really good. And there's like this like energetic foreplay thing that's going on. There's that. And then there's also like, as you know, I study tantra, and like there's a lot about sex that I haven't really uncovered in the tantric philosophy. But what I know about it at its root is it speaks to how everything is kind of like in this sacred sexuality. So like everything is like emerging, like my path, your path, they've come together today. Like this right now, we are having like cosmic, sacred, sexual connection because we're here together. And it's just I could go on, but what I want to talk about is like how do we break these walls down of shame, and how like unconventional relationships, and also just being like no again normalizing these conversations. It cultivates this high level of like honest communication and forces us to be really clear, get really clear about who we are, what we want, and then have the courage to speak to that. And of course, that comes with like, oh, so much shadow work of like creating a safe space for ourselves, holding ourselves in our own value while we do this. Like, okay, like, hey, maybe we're in a long-term relationship with a person and our desires have changed, and there's like so much fear around coming to this person and being honest about what's true because there's a fear of being judged, or maybe this person hasn't really held a safe space for you or for I or whoever to speak honestly about that, or they've kind of projected their own insecurities around sexuality onto you. Or so I want to hear your take on you being in an unconventional relationship now and having more experience with that, of like how being really honest and clear about what you want, what you like, and what you are excited to explore has expanded your relationships and deepened your connection with partners and friends.
Oh yeah. So much here. And I think you mentioned two things. Like, first of all, spot on the inner work of just like being able to have certain conversations with yourself first, being able to understand what boundaries you have, what is a requirement for you in a relationship with someone, even if that's a platonic relationship with someone. Do you require like weekly communication? And that's the second part is communication. And it just practicing. I know that sounds silly, but like we don't practice, or we don't openly say like, oh, I'm practicing my communication. Like,
Well, we do
not like,
over here, but yeah.
not like we're going to practice for it, but like if you want to be having successful relationships with anyone, communication is just the foundation of it all, no matter what. And so
Totally.
when I started doing the like the work to like better understand my inner child, my trauma, myself more, I realized how much I was suppressing, and how much I wasn't communicating, and how little my voicing, like voicing my needs, and how little I was voicing my needs and my desires and my boundaries. And that hurt. And so it was very, it became eventually, and this is like a privilege to recognize this and become aware of this, but it became very apparent that like if I'm not enjoying my sex life or my relationships with people, if I'm getting hurt, what needs to change? I can't change them. What needed to change was like me and how I communicated. And so the work first starts with being able to feel confident in our own voices and our bodies, especially when we think about speaking about sex. But a lot of that just comes with practice and like having a toolkit. I mentioned a toolkit at the beginning of our conversation. Like, Emily, you have been part of my toolkit, not just in your physical presence in my life, but in the spaces that you create and the healing tools that you share with us. Breathwork and somatics are two that really ring a bell for me in being able to work through times that I feel a lack of confidence or uncomfortable voicing something, to be able to practice having those hard conversations. And like the things that we should be talking about, and not just with partners. I mean, partners are a for sure, yes, but like with our friends, with our family, are things like sexual safety, consent. I've said boundaries and like same, same, but different, self-advocating. And then we don't talk enough about things like, and this all kind of falls into the same bucket of like before care and aftercare. We use words aftercare sometimes, but like, what does before care look like? And these are just all like things that bundle up into communication that if you are having sex, you should be talking about these things. If you're listening to the words that I'm saying right now and you're fucking somebody, anybody, I don't care if you've been with them for 10 years and you're not having a conversation about advocating for something or creating a boundary of something you don't like, or having aftercare, you need to reevaluate your communication and what, and some of those topics.
Thank you for that reminder.
Put myself on a pedestal there. Got all
good. Yeah, well, you should. That's a thing. Come on. This is where we're at. This is where we're at. I like really appreciate that. I want to get back into the breathwork and somatics piece of this. But before we do, I want to... Can you explain to our people that are listening, if they're really unfamiliar, because this might be brand new territory for some, like BDSM, kink, before care, after care. I want to hear a little bit more about those.
Totally. I want to talk. I have a couple bullet points that include those things as well. First and foremost, I want to talk about sexual safety. Everyone that is having sex, as I mentioned, even if you've been in a relationship for 10 years, you should be thinking about sexual safety. We are bodies. We create things. We can get viruses, and some of those viruses or infections can be sexually transmitted. And so if you're having sex, I don't care if it's only with one person or multiple people, it's like getting tested often and being able to have conversations about that stuff, being open to sharing your results with people very openly, being able to hear non-judgmentally what others' test results are, because sometimes somebody is going to say, hey, I am HSV2 positive, or they just tested positive for something and you also had an interaction with them. Like this has happened to me. I was 20 years old when I received news that I tested positive for chlamydia. And
oh yes, the early 20s chlamydia. Yes.
You can imagine I was crushed. Yeah. I felt disgusting. Yeah. I felt horrible. But like the reality is also that like it's an infection, it's curable, it's treatable. Going to get tested often, which is something that I've always done, saved me from that turning into something worse. And so sexual safety, having those conversations, is only going to save all of us from having to, you know, the potential for things to get worse. Another thing too, that falls into if all sex, but like, especially those that are practicing kink and BDSM. And I want to talk about that too, is consent. I think they'll forever be ingrained in my brain. Memories I have of times where I've been touched by in a way that did not feel good, or something has been done to me that was not serving me in any way. Or I have touched or done something to someone else that probably didn't vibe or jive with them. And so I have been really, this has been like a personal project of mine, just really actively being aware of and using consent in all my communication. I could be about to wrap my lips around your and I'm still going to make it a point to say, is this pressure okay? Does this feel good? Because sometimes it doesn't. And I had a moment recently where a partner asked me to them. And I like didn't express in the moment that it had been a while since I had been asked to somebody. And I was like, I went to do it and I never checked in. And after the fact, I was like, okay, Brittany, like slap on the hand. You should have checked in as soon as you did that. You should have asked like in the moment, is this pressure okay? Are you comfortable? Does this feel good? Like these are things that I should have done in the moment. And so I share that story to say like, I'm still learning actively. And these are, if you ever find yourself in the moment, because I did find myself being like, oh shit, am I doing this right? I haven't done this in a while. Am I hurting them? And being worried. And that takes away from my experience just as well. And if they're uncomfortable, that takes away from their experience. So,
right. And if you're in that space with someone, your naked bodies touching, like your energy can be
vulnerable,
felt and also felt by this person. And like, if you're not confident, then they're not confident. And also like communication is so sexy. Like the asking if things feel good or like asking for permission, that is not going to kill the mood. That's going to make your partner feel like they can trust you more. And then what do we do when we trust? We soften, we open, we become more available for pleasure and expansion. And so, yes, thank you for bringing that up because that is so important and so good. I think we're getting better. I think generally we're getting better because this is becoming more like spoken about. Like I see a lot in like just the dating space of like consensual non-consent kind of thing. Yeah.
CNC. Consensual, non-consent. Okay, so for consent, non-consent, this is something that CNC is like basically giving a partner or partners consent to do non-consensual things. Like, you know, I think it's something that I admit, not even like looking back on it now, but like just like waking up in the morning and rolling over and smothering your partner and climbing on top of them. Like sometimes that's not consensual to other people. I actually heard this on a podcast episode and it made me think really hard, but a really good example is having sex in public. I am notorious for having sex in public. And it's like a weird gray area where it's like technically you can't ask all the people in public for their consent if you can have sex in public. And it defeats kind of the purpose of like the pleasure behind having sex in public. But technically it's like, I don't know, consent, non-consent is a topic that I need to dial back into myself, but it
for
is.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's like just giving a person consent to like, hey, I trust you. And totally. Like, we can, like, I trust you that you have my best interests in your heart and in your mind, and you're going to keep me safe. And with that safety, like you'll push me to my edges, but I trust you. So there's totally. like the consent trust.
And I have, and we have full clarity that at any point in time I can tap out and say, this isn't working. I have a boundary flag that I'm going to throw out on the line. Like,
for sure.
That's happened before. I think we've all been in situations where we've said yes to something and then we get into it and we're like, oh, this isn't actually working for me.
Yeah, and totally.
That's when we have the choice to like advocate for ourselves and say, hey, can we try something different or suffer? And suffering is, well, that's what I'm here talking about today, is not suffering, communicating.
Can you tell us a little bit about kink? And what one may like come to find if they dive into this world?
Oh, that is a great question. I have been exploring kink in a more open understanding way of it being kink for the last 5 years, but I have always had kinky tendencies. And so like, there's also a difference between kink and fetishes. That could be for another episode, but
correct.
Kink itself,
yes.
Like, yeah, kink itself, do you like, are you an exhibitionist? Do you like doing things outside? Are you a voyeur? Do you like watching other people? Do you enjoy rope play or sensory deprivation? Like those are different examples of kink. And for me, I'm just a curious human by nature. And so just, you know, I think I've known for a while that yes, sex feels good for me, but I also get this pleasure out of understanding and discovering what makes someone else feel good. And so that really, I think, opened the doors to kink for me, and just finding out how to unlock someone's pleasure potential by way of other mediums, not just classic sex as we know it, penetrative sex as we know it. And so, yeah, I am many kinks, and I'm still discovering so many, but I feel like it's a, you know, kink and BDSM, I think BDSM lives under the umbrella of kink, but that's a whole different world. Mm-hmm. Bondage, dominance, submission, and masochism. And you can live under different umbrellas within there. And when I started exploring BDSM a lot more, I realized how somatic all of those things are. And as I've gotten into breath work, I've brought breath work into my kink in BDSM play. And yeah, it is
music to my ears.
It is healing. And it's something that so many people are like, oh my gosh, that sounds terrible. You liked to be spanked until you've got welts. You like to be tied up. You like to be deprived of your senses. To some people, that sounds wild, but to others, it's a healing mechanism. It's just as healing mm-hmm. as going out into the dance floor or getting yeah. a tattoo or
right. Right.
These people that are running 26 miles, a marathon, that's not therapeutic or healing to me, but for some people it is. And totally. So can't jock anyone's jam here. I'm really fascinated by what I continue to uncover and discover within myself through kink and BDSM as like a healing outlet for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's so beautiful, right? To just how, speaking of kink as healing, like being able to say, okay, this might be freaky to most people or to the people on the outside world, but I feel like I really need this. And I really want to try this way of being. Let's just take doms and subs for a moment. So dominant energy and submissive energy in sex. That's pretty straightforward. And I think that it could be really easily understood. Let's take somebody who is a very high performing, successful, let's call them an entrepreneur, let's call them a CEO, let's call them somebody who takes charge in all of the areas of their life. And they are expected, when they put on their suit and tie, or they put on their mask and they go to work, they clock in, or they get on their computer in the morning, or whatever it is that they're doing, they are expected to make all of the decisions for themselves, for their company, for all of their employees. The pressure is on them. That is so intense for people, mm-hmm. like for anyone, right? And so the healing in being, well, let's say you're a dominant person in your everyday life, but in your sex life, you want to just fucking relax and you want to chill and you want to be told what to do. And you don't want to make any decisions because you do that enough already all the time. So in your sex and your kink is to be submissive, because damn, if that doesn't fucking feel good when the pressure's off of you. And somebody else can call the shots and you've given them consent to do that.
Maybe you have a praised kink because you weren't told enough as a child or in your adolescent years how good you were and how well you are in moving through life and performing through life. And so for a lot of people, like kink and BDSM, not to get deep with daddy issues, but kink and BDSM is definitely
we can get deep with daddy issues. I mean, totally.
Trauma.
Like 100%.
A way of healing your traumas.
Yeah.
As wild as that sounds, but it's no different than, again, some of the other ways that people seek healing.
For sure. And I think it's so cool that there's like, I mean, unless you're in this community or you're asking questions or you're talking about this openly with people, you're not going to find people that will welcome you as you are and help you explore and heal those parts of you through kink, BDSM, or whatever. Just self-exploration or exploration with another partner. Like, so this is why normalizing these conversations are so important, because it's like, hey, we all want you to find your people, like find your community, find the people that inspire you and encourage you and light you up and are your hype person of like, fuck yeah, I want you to heal that. Get in there. get in there and see what happens and hold your ground, you know, be really honest about who you are, what you want, have the courage to communicate that because you're in a safe space with people that are going to accept you no matter what and then are open. And maybe that might not be their thing and maybe they can't support you with that, but maybe somebody else can.
Totally.
So good.
And honestly, like what I'm about to say is not saying that everyone in the kink community is a good person. There are bad people that live in all communities, but like the kink community and BDSM specifically has allowed me to be able to be more free in my expression of not just my sexuality, but in my communication. I honestly feel like BDSM and getting into other and, you know, practicing kink things have allowed me to become a better communicator in my partnerships and be able to have those sexual safety and consent conversations with more ease. And also like before care and after care, we haven't talked about
yeah,
that.
I
like,
want to hear about that.
I don't know. Like that's something that in your average monogamous relationship, we don't talk about before care, after care. And we should, because it should be something that we're doing with any kind of sexual act, not just if you're whipping someone with a flogger for 45 minutes. This is, you could be having regular vanilla sex, and you should still be having ongoing conversations, continually checking in with yourself first, as well as your partner or partners, and asking questions like, is there something you want to try? Did you try something and you didn't actually like it? Or did something hurt, or rather, did it feel really good? And so having those conversations on the regular, like for example, also just checking in, like, is there something missing that you feel like you've been craving, but I haven't been giving it to you? Like that happened to me recently. I had realized with a partner that we just had a threesome and I was feeling really disconnected afterwards and had a really challenging time communicating my needs, and ultimately realized what I really needed, and I was just afraid to ask, was intimacy. I didn't realize. And part of me was like feeling like, oh, am I a failure? I had a threesome and I can't even like, you know, go a week without having intimacy with my partner. Like it felt like I was failing from doing something that I enjoyed so much in the moment, because I also needed my own personal attention and affection from my partner and not sharing that, even though in the moment it was beautiful. So yeah, just like continually having open conversations and reevaluating. And then my personal, that's like before care. There's a before care that we don't really talk about. And then there's the aftercare, which can be something like, my favorite is a post-sex download where you just talk about all the things I just brought up. Like, how was that? Did you enjoy it? What did you not like? What did you want more of, less of? I loved like just having a little pillow talk afterwards. Mm-hmm. And also thoughtful gestures that can happen in the middle of sex. The other day I was laying there all tied up. I had nowhere to go. And my lips were so chapped. And I had to just tap out and say, can you please put some chapstick on my lips, please? Like I didn't want the experience to stop, but I was miserable. And my partner came over and put chapstick on my lips for me. And
so sweet.
Like, it's so sweet. And sure, that was like a little bump in the road, but it was taking me out of my space having chapped lips.
Totally.
So like stuff like that, a warm, wet cloth afterwards, snuggles, head rubs, a nap, a snack, a joint. Like those are all wonderful aftercare things that just, especially when you're practicing BDSM and kink, like it's not just for that world, but if you're engaging in these heavy experiences, like any somatic release, we need to like download and
integrate.
Take
that. It's integration exactly. And it's co-regulation with your partner, which is really important. And I think this is like where being, you know, honest about what you're looking for in dating and in sex is really important too. It's like, hi, I'm down to be your friend. I'm down to have sex and like casually, like because of whatever reason. But like, I really appreciate, like, I don't want to just like fucking dip. Like, I really appreciate some cuddles or like, let's have a glass of water together or something where it's not just like, all right, peace out. Like, But for some people, I think that that is okay, right? It's just a matter of like being really direct and like, yeah, I'm down to bone and go. But yeah, I think it's totally fine if you, you know, if it, just as long as you're clear about what you want and what you're looking for. And then on the other side of that communication of like, okay, I would love to casually sleep together, but I'm afraid that that kind of aftercare might feel too intimate for me right now. And I actually am not looking for that. I'm just kind of, this is what I'm looking for right now. And to hold an open, safe space for both people involved or all people involved to be like, okay, so this is not, maybe this isn't a match right now. And that's okay. So maybe we should, because we are both very clear about where we're at and what we need, and neither one of us can meet each other's needs fully, then maybe we should hold a boundary for ourselves and our own self-care and step back from this and try something else, or spend some time alone, find a person who matches what we need. I want to talk to you about relationship anarchy, because I know you're really passionate about it. And I think this goes exactly with that. But before I go any further, I want to just talk about the somatics of this kind of communication and this kind of activity. It is very, very, very important that we, if we are engaging in sex with anyone at any time in any kind of relationship, that we are educating ourselves in how our bodies work, because like bodies, nervous system, our breath, our bodies, as I talk about all the time, are antennas for truth and wisdom, and they know when things feel good and they know when things don't feel good. And that's not to say that if you like a little bit of pain during sex, like some spankings and things like that, whips, whatever, like that is going to feel good for you because that's what you like. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an energetic exchange with a person who, maybe you say you go out on a date and you're like, oh, I thought this person was really attractive. I might've found them on like a dating app or something like that. And so we got on a date and we start talking and the vibes are just off, but you might have similar interests. You might think this person is attractive, but there's just something there and your body is saying no. It's really important that we build the trust in ourselves to know that that's a no for us. Mm. To trust the body's language and what it's telling us in our heart rate or in the way that our breath is moving. If our breath is running smooth and steady, then it's likely that this person that we're spending time with or around is making us feel like we feel safe around this person. Like we're feeling regulated. If our heart is racing and our breath is becoming stuck or really short and choppy and shallow, then that's a good sign that we're not comfortable and we're nervous. And maybe it'll take time to like develop safety with this person, but it's not right now. And to be able to like really hold our boundary of being like, hey, I'm feeling like I need to step away from this. I'm feeling like I need to just, can we connect again another time? I need to like just giving ourselves that permission to step away from something. I think so many of us are just recovering people pleasers that when we go on like dates with people, we feel like, oh, well, like, I owe them something. They bought me this huge, incredible dinner and took me out and this and that. And so I like that Friends episode. I forget who it was. Monica and Pete. Do you know who I'm talking about? No. Okay. No, that's
what, I think I do.
So Monica dates this like millionaire guy, or she starts dating him, and Chandler is like, well, something, is he like paying for dinner or whatever? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, well, then get the lobster. But that doesn't mean that you owe him anything. So it's just like, I mean, think that I really do feel like as a collective, we're becoming more awakened to this and more conscious of that. And I love that for us so much. I really feel it. It's a slow drip, but yeah, I just want to drop that, because if this is exciting to you or intriguing to you and you want to start exploring your sexuality in different ways, then just be mindful of how your body is responding to the people that you're around or to the things that you are like tapping into. Like if it makes you tingly in your front butt, you know what I mean? But like if you're getting turned on by something, that's a good sign. However, that doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sailing for you to arrive to that place where you can find that pleasurable too. Like, there's so many layers to this unshaming of ourselves and creating safety within ourselves and finding people that share the same values and also like really prioritize their partners feeling safe. And
I mean, you struck a close chord with me in that, like, you know, I'm speaking about sex. My platform is around sex and embodying pleasure. But like, I've spent more years of my life having bad sex and bad experiences and not advocating for myself, rather being like, well, I want this person to like me, or this person, I need to make this person feel good for this reason, or this doesn't feel good, but I'm not going to say anything because I want to be cool. You know,
yeah.
I think back to my first threesome experience, and like, in many ways it was fun, but there were many times where I was like, ugh, that didn't feel great. I didn't want to do that, but I didn't speak up for myself. And so, yeah, I share those to say, like, we're all still learning. I'm constantly coming up with new things that I'm learning about myself, but yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. And thanks for being so open about all of your experiences too. I really appreciate that. So back to, this is something that we were talking about on the phone. Like,
yeah.
I guess it was like, I don't know, last week or something, but we were just chatting about all of this. And then we were talking about relationship anarchy. And so I just used the example of like finding a person who can, like, you have needs and maybe there's a certain person who can meet those needs. Maybe there's somebody who cannot. And I'm going to let you take it from there and explain a little bit more about that.
Yes. Hell yeah. Okay. Relationship anarchy. There's a really great podcast that I listened to that I was going to link in resources that I recommend called Multi-Amory. And it's just about any and everything relationship wise, like, doesn't have to be a polyamorous relationship. Doesn't even have to be an intimate relationship, but they just talk so many good things. And a couple of other episodes are around relationship anarchy and the smorgasbord. And so relationship anarchy is this theory of like, or this lifestyle practice, I should say, not theory, but not high, putting a hierarchy on partners, friends, family, saying like, oh, I'm married, so therefore this person is above everyone else. It's looking at your relationships individually and honoring what that person is to you. And so I love this concept of a smorgasbord. There's a whole episode or two or three about it. And there's an actual visual that I encourage you all to look up, the relationship smorgasbord. And just think of it as all these different plates. Think of it like going to a buffet, but instead of food, you have things that you want to share with or engage with a partner. And that might just start off as one little plate where you just want to flirt and maybe sext with somebody. And then maybe that feels good and you start progressing it, but then maybe you don't like something. So you could keep adding things to your plate or you could take things off, and you're just constantly reevaluating what that relationship looks like. Having constant check-ins and conversation and saying what works, what doesn't work, what you want, what you need. And if those needs and wants aren't being met, if it doesn't feel like it's working and you're taking things off and putting things on, then maybe that is a buffet like that you don't want anymore. You go to another buffet. That sounds silly, but it's my analogy. And so constantly having those conversations, not just with a partner or partners, but with yourself. Oftentimes I do that in journaling. I'm just journaling what it is that I am feeling in my mind and my body. Like, am I finding myself getting frustrated with this person because they're not communicating with me as much as I want? Then I'm going to reach out and like have a check-in. And during a check-in, say like, hey, like, I really value our friendship, but I feel like I don't feel as connected to you because we don't talk once a week. That's an example of like your smorgasbord and reevaluating your relationship with somebody. It doesn't have to always be romantic or sexual relationships. It can be any type of relationship.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. I mean, yeah, I think that it's so like, it's articulated so beautifully because we have don't know. I have certain friends that I like doing certain things with, and like, because that's our vibe. And I am an infinite little person here with many, many interests. And so I have many, many
Same.
friends who like many different things. And, you know, it's just really cool to just be like, oh, this is my person that I do this with, and this is my person that I do that with. And I quite enjoy it. I like it. And it's like we try to get all these people into one room together, maybe, and it's not gonna jive, but you are, I don't know, it's serving you and your relationship to multiple people. Again, not necessarily romantically, but it's like
But in
kind
the
of like
scope
that.
of,
It's was that.
I was gonna say, in the scope of romance and like partnership, that's where like I find polyamory works for me personally, is that like I'm then not expecting, I'm very much like you, Emily, in the sense that like I have all these different interests and all these different friends that kind of fulfill different portions on my plate, if you
Yeah.
will. And but for so long I expected a partner to fill the whole
Right.
buffet,
Exactly. Which is like
and
so,
that's
putting
what
so much.
relation,
Right.
oh my, yeah, pressure and so much just not good to a relationship. And so that's where a
No.
relationship anarchy is really powerful, in that like you don't expect all of that from a partner, and nor should you, but things are always going to change. I could talk a whole episode about a partnership that I have with a current partner, and like that whole journey, that relationship smorgasbord has been a journey. And it's because we've had these continual check-ins and we evaluate our boards, and it's just really rad to see the evolution of that and be able to use that as a tool for strengthening other relationships in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. So much pressure putting it all on one person, and oof. I'm
And
so
having a goal. I hate this, like, this notion that we have to have a goal for what a, dating or even sex. Like, from the dating world, it's like, okay, well, I'm dating to find my end all be all. And in the sex world, it's like, okay, I'm fucking so I can have an orgasm. And that's,
yeah.
it should be more like, I'm dating because I want to experience humans and like get to know other humans. And I'm
Yeah.
fucking exploring sexuality and sensuality because I want to embody pleasure, and I want to understand pleasure from someone else as well, and explore their minds and
Same.
bodies through this beautiful practice of eroticism.
Totally. And what I think is so beautiful too about connection in general is like, yes, exploring other people, but and seeing what's out there, but also seeing what's in here, and like having every single person and every interaction, whether that's romantic, platonic, sexual, or just straight up like just a conversation on the street, like as a mirror into ourselves.
There's
I
only so
find
much
that
work we can do by ourselves. We need other people to do the work, to
totally. We
like
need,
help us do the work.
yes, we need other people absolutely to be reflections for us. And like, oh my God, like, oh, you like that? Oh, wow. To me, that sounds wild, but okay. To me, that sounds wild. Okay. To me, that feels, and then it's kind of like this, like deeper and deeper introspection. Wow, that sounds crazy. Oh my God. Wait, that also sounds exciting to me. Or that sounds repulsive to me. You know, like I'm into that or I'm not. It's just like this deep, like constant self-inquiry. I mean, we can do this through anything. And this is again like coming back to this, just sex and relationships being healing, like just the way that yoga is healing. And like it gives us a space to explore ourselves through our bodies and through our breath and to watch how our bodies or our minds respond to things that are going on in our bodies. And then meditation, of course, and breath work and tarot cards and learning
All
astrology, like
interconnected.
all an opportunity to just like turn everything that we're looking at, just turn it right back on ourselves. And like, how does this land with me? And this is how we get to know ourselves. And this is one of those avenues that just isn't spoken about enough. And I'm like, just, I'm so excited that you're bringing this into the world, more of this, because we need it. We need people that are also like, I feel like you just, you set a really safe space. You're so approachable and you're so like generous with your knowledge and your experience and like your storyteller, you know, which is really, really important. Like sharing your experience with partners and stuff is really good. So I just want to, I guess I just kind of want to like wrap this up and say like, so how do we do, whether it's sex or anything else that we're excited about, it's about being really honest about ourselves, doing some exploration, doing a little research and trying to, you know, just coming to understand the self and like your stance on things. And then also finding a community of people who are experienced or are also very curious, but who are like-minded and have the same values as you. Because you could find people that are super kinky, but do not like align in your values, and that will not be a good match. And then, of course, just watching yourself in action through this journey. Like, how is your body responding to what you're taking in, to what you're hearing?
Taking inventory, I like to say.
Totally. Yeah, that's a like somatic piece is listening in and just knowing your worth, knowing how worthy we are of experiencing pleasure and safety.
Something that I highly recommend, and I will be talking more about this month on my Instagram, is masturbating in the mirror.
Ooh.
It is something that, did you ever watch Talk Sex with Sue?
I did, but in secrecy. Yes. In secrecy.
Same. I was hiding it late night when my parents were asleep, listening to it super low volume. She resurfaced me yesterday, and I was like, oh, I loved Sue. She is the OG. She is the rebel. She is the pleasure rebel.
She's an icon. She's
been paving the way for decades.
Oh my God. Yes. She's an icon.
What a homie. And so anyway, she like popped in my brain yesterday, and she was telling people to masturbate in front of the mirror. And I never truly have done it until I think I did it, you know, like a couple of years ago. Maybe I looked at myself once when I was in my 20s, but like literally looking at yourself in the mirror, getting a hand mirror, like watching yourself and maybe even recording yourself. That is something so powerful that I've been really tapping into as of late, and it is really empowering for yourself, and that can bring up a lot, because it's also can be uncomfortable to watch yourself, to look at yourself, to want to self-criticize, but it can also be really empowering and enlightening the more you do it and the more you discover, take inventory on how it feels, if that's good or not good, so that you can then, we're coming full circle here, you can then fuel those conversations with a partner or partners of what feels good, what doesn't feel good. Hell, that even fuels conversations too, just like amongst friends, to be able to say like, the way that the music is in here is not vibing with me. Like it's so high level, but like being able to advocate what really makes you feel good when you're around people and what doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Embracing and embodying radical authenticity always and forever is something that we can practice in all areas of our lives. So I'm so glad that we got to explore this.
How fun.
And we have a lot more to talk about, honestly.
Oh my gosh. Scratched the surface.
We got the conversation started, and I'm so excited for everybody who's listening to hear about what you thought about this episode, and to keep this conversation going with Brittany and myself, because I'm very much in my very curious, very explorative phase with all this. And I don't think that will ever end, because I'm just a person who loves diving into herself and learning about herself. And yeah, there's so much to be explored. We're different every day. We're always evolving. So shit can change in a blink of an eye.
And that's what's so beautiful about this life. We're always evolving. There's always something to learn. I
Yeah.
mean, everything that we've talked about today, we are only scratching the surface in this conversation, but also like in science and research
Yeah.
and things that we know. It's
Totally.
wild. So yeah, I'm gonna shamelessly plug my Instagram. I know I'm
Please.
probably link it. I am working on updating the handle to align more with my brand, but you know, it's like that shit's like changing a cell phone number. There's attachment issues
Oh,
there.
I know.
So, but for now it's Brittany underscore with underscore un underscore I. Emily will link it. Brittany with an
Yeah.
I. Website coming soon. The month of May, just think anything masturbation and self-pleasure. And then we're rolling into Pride Month. I know I'm going to come in hot with some pride related things and just having
Amazing.
that and a lot more of this stuff. So yeah, just,
But yeah, thank you.
And don't be
And
afraid to reach out. Like if you're thinking as you're listening to this episode, oh my gosh, something's triggered in me. I don't know how to have this conversation. I feel so uncomfortable. I've never been tested. What do? I want to be polyamorous. Anything you want to have a threesome, reach out. Like I am just working on building my experience in all of this. So I will humbly admit that, but like us having community, as Emily said, and like a safe space
Yeah.
to connect and hear from others is what's gotten me to this place today. And I, it's my purpose to really give that back to others. So.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I know you have some books that you're going to share. We'll put all those in the show notes as well. And if you just so happen to change your handle at any point in time, we'll just change it here in the show notes too. So if you go and you looked Brittany up and you're like, man, I don't see her anymore, then just check back underneath this episode and you will find her. And Brittany, we are so thankful to have you on and
So
obviously just to
grateful.
be a part of the community. You've been around for a while and thank you for all of your support and for just putting yourself out there. Like this is so, I know we're like broken records kind of, but it's so damn important. And
so
I am,
important. And
yeah.
I'm so passionate. I mean, I could sit here and talk to you for another
Woo!
3 and a half hours.
I know. So I'm so grateful. Brittany has some things coming up. I will have some things coming up soon that I think you might be interested in. Not gonna plug them for now because everything's really under the surface, but just stay tuned and we appreciate you. And also one last thing I'll say too is if you are a person out there who's highly educated in sex ed and you have resources, would you just send them our way? Because I know that there's like an unlimited amount of resources out there, and what has been helpful for you, I'm sure our community will find very helpful as well. And there's never enough resources anyway. Sending you so much love. Thanking you so much. Stay in touch with us. And
thank you. Always.
Talk to you.
All right.